So we were in the middle of discussing Vayivarech David. Last week we tried to understand the Kabbalistic components that Rav Pinkus and Rav Schwab said were indispensable towards understanding the various adjectives and accolades that David HaMelech used to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness. And now we move forward. Yours, Hashem, is the sovereignty and the rulership of every leader. So there are two different types of power structures, governmental structures. One is mamlacha. We just started. You missed exactly 50 seconds. So mamlacha, a legitimate authority, right, which governs with consent. I think we spoke about this a little bit on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, the two different types of governance and the implications that can have. A mamlacha is legitimate, meaning that it's accepted. Welcome. Glad you can make it. A mamlacha, personal invitations, whatever it takes. It's great to have everybody here. A mamlacha is a legitimate authority, which governs with the consent of those who are governed. Meaning, you know, we could think that a democracy would be something similar to this, where people consent to be governed by some type of authority figure. And misnasei is really a dictatorship, right? One person is able to elevate themselves to a position of power, usually to the opposition of a significant group of people. And rather than governing in a way that's pleasing or acceptable to the masses, they rule in according to their fiat, you know, with their own iron fist, whatever they want.
Wouldn't it be like, we think today, not all kingdoms or empires, that a melech is something that was at least inherited, and if you like it or not, that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. A nasi, as we look at it, of course, we make a bracha for the nasi and we elect the nasi.
That's a good question. That's a good point. Afal pichein, the mefarshim explain. It's a good question that you ask. Right? Melech usually is an appointed position, but even within the kingdom, maybe there's some acquiescence or approval from the people. And the misnasei is the ruler. And what David HaMelech is saying is, L'cha Hashem ha-mamlacha v'ha-misnasei. You govern both with the support of the people, and you govern by fiat. You have the ultimate authority, l'chol l'rosh. Right? Anything, any figurehead, any power of authority is attributable to you. We know that Lev Malachim, Lev Starim, Biyad Hashem, that the hearts and the appointment, everything that happens, you know, what Hashem thinks of having us, you know, be ruled or led by a certain president, whether this president, the last president, the next president, all of it, we don't really understand it, but it all emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why we need to continue to daven to Hashem, no matter who's in, you know, sitting at the resolute desk in the Oval Office, because it's all coming from Hashem. We don't always understand why that shaliach has to be there, and how that person, or our job is to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring kedusha into this world, to bring holiness, to be mekadesh shem shemayim. How does one particular person help us achieve that goal? Sometimes it's clearer to see than others. And ultimately, what David HaMelech is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of this authority. And the Gemara in Brachos says that the Reish Galusa also was appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Daf Nun Ches. So even something that's a minor, you know, a municipal type of position, even that level, it doesn't have to be the king and the queen and the, you know, the authority figure, even somebody, a tax collector who's the local head of the IRS office, that person also is an authority. Do they waive, you know, do they look away from certain things, or do they enforce every little thing? You know, they were talking on the news today about, you know, New York City is hiring 160 police officers, and they're going to enforce these new proposed laws to reduce traffic. So what does that mean? Is it really going to reduce traffic, or does it mean that police officers are going to be giving out more tickets? You walk around New York City, there, you know, every truck has an envelope, an orange envelope. It's like a badge of pride. They think that the ticketers aren't going to come and give them more tickets. Is it really going to help? I don't know. But the person who makes that decision, the head of the Department of Transportation, the mayor, right, those things are somewhat influenced by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what David is saying, L'chol Rosh, everything, every power is actually coming from Hashem. Furthermore, even if a person were to offer all of these praises together, and we feel like we've exhausted all of the praise that we could possibly offer, simply because, you know, these are the most majestic words of praise a person can offer as we go through it. Mamlacha, Misnase, Osher, Kavod, Moshel, Koach, Gevura, Godless, Chazek, all of those things, it's still only the Rosh. It's the very tip of the iceberg of what we could ever offer to Hashem. Even if we were to continue, you know, we still have the opportunity to continue praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ha'osher V'Ha'Kavod Milfanecha, and the wealth and the honor come from Hashem. What this really relates to is an idea that comes a couple of psukim later when the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says, Kimimcha Hakol. Shreki turned this into a song a couple of years ago. Kimimcha Hakol, everything comes from you. U'miyadcha nasanu lach. And from your hand we give to you. And it's a beautiful way, as I always like to quote the way Rav Schechter explains the mitzvah of tzedakah. We have money. People give us money for the work that we do. We work diligently, we work hard, we work ethically for the money that we earn. And then we have an opportunity to give tzedakah. So there are two ways of giving tzedakah. One person gives tzedakah because they see themselves not as the owner of that money, but as the treasurer of that money. I don't have that money. It's not mine to keep forever and ever. I'm going to go to the Olam HaMas one day. After 120 years, Be'ezras Hashem, that money's staying here. But my job as a treasurer is to make sure that it's divvied out, that it's appropriated in the appropriate way. It's given to the people who need it, and it's not spent on frivolous things. And when we do that, David HaMelech is saying, even when we give that money to the right place, it's still through Hashem. It came from Hashem, and Hashem's giving me the opportunity to give that money to tzedakah, and I'm really giving it back to Him. You know, it's all His. Everything here is His. Versus the other person's perspective on tzedakah is, you know what? It's my money. And I can decide how I want to spend it. If I want to give to tzedakah, I can give to tzedakah. If I want to spend it on some luxury, I can spend it on luxury. If I want to spend it on a bottle of Tylenol because I'm not feeling well, that's also my right. But ultimately, it's mine. Versus the other perspective of, no, it's really Hashem's, and Hashem trusts me to be able to make the correct decisions of how to spend it. But even within that, it's all been given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with the fact that we have the opportunity, Ha'osher Ve'Hakavod Milfanecha, you give us a little bit of your wealth and your honor to be able to use it properly. It's an isayon. Wealth is really a test. And Hashem tests us, we should be zocha to an appropriate test, not too much. We've seen how many people get, you know, tested with a lottery ticket and they ultimately end up bankrupt in a short period of time. That kind of test we don't ask for. We want Hashem to, you know, let us figure it out and do it in a reasonable way. V'yata, and you, Moshe Bakol, you rule over everything. So here David HaMelech is saying that he hoped that his son, Shlomo HaMelech, would be able to build the Beis HaMikdash. And nonetheless, we see that Shlomo in his tefillah for the newly constructed Beis HaMikdash, what does he say in Melachim? V'gam el hanachri asher lo me'amcha Yisrael hu uva me'eretz rechoka l'man shemecha. That there's a Gentile who's not your people, but will come from a distant land for the sake of your name, to give you kavod. Ki yishma unes shimcha hagadol v'yasyodcha hachazaka uzroacha hanetuya uva v'hispalel el beis hazeh. That this person, this Gentile person, is going to hear of Hashem's great name. What does that mean, the great name? It's not just the name. You know, it's everything that Hashem does. It's the wonders, it's the miracles, it's the love, it's the kindness that He bestows upon His people. And other nations, when they investigate that, they say, hey, you know, that's the best system we could possibly be in this world. I want to be a part of that. And our responsibilities as Jews is to be able to uphold the glory and the majesty and the beauty and the honor that comes with being a Torah Jew. So Shlomo says, I want to come and pray with them. So David HaMelech is saying that this sovereignty, which he was now turning over to his son because he couldn't do anything more with it productively. He was limited you know, in terms of literally what was on his hands were tied. It really, this power that he's giving to Shlomo is again something that emanates from the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his tefillah was that whatever greatness that Shlomo HaMelech would be able to achieve by virtue of his accomplishments and personal success, right, all of that never eclipses what Hashem does for us. Ata Moshe Bakol. Not only you rule everything, you even rule Shlomo HaMelech, who's building a house for you, but it's still about you. Uvyadcha koach gvura, in your hand is power and strength. David looked at his 12-year-old son and the immense power that he would be having as king, and he said, it's biyadcha, all the power is in you. Uvyadcha legadel l'chazik l'kol. Halavai, everybody in power would have this humility to be able to appreciate that it's not kochi va'otzem yadi, you know, it's not, we could get into, it's just too easy to go there today. Hashem can build whatever towers he wants, he doesn't put his name on it, in you know, gilded in gold. Hashem, there's a humility here. David HaMelech Shlomo didn't put his name all over the building that he built. And it's your hand to make anyone great. Only Hashem makes things great or strong. And with this, David HaMelech summarizes his tefillah by saying that the future of the Beis HaMikdash is the symbol of both Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Shemayim on earth is in Hashem's hands to sustain. He wants it to succeed. He wants it to grow. He'll make it grow. Va'atar Elokeinu modim anachnu lach. And that means that after all of this realization, this hakara, that it's really, this is just a shadow. This is emanating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then how could we not do anything but be modeh, which means to acknowledge and to thank and to be grateful and to appreciate everything that Hashem does, knowing that we'll never be able to repay it. Whatever success we have is really just a function of that which Hashem does for us. It's interesting, that this tefillah was said on a tainis. It was observed on the 24th day of Tishrei, which I think was last Tuesday when I was planning to discuss this. That would have been very appropriate. It was a day of tshuva to atone for the chatam, the averos that were committed during the early period of the second Beis HaMikdash. So the situation was terrible. Nechemya was invited to return from Bavel to oversee the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And as part of the tshuva process, so they wrote a ksav amana, a written oath and a declaration whereby they expressed their renewed commitment to Torah and mitzvos. So this was signed by all the members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah and placed in the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal tell us, the Medrash in Rus tells us, that the next day they found an additional signatory on that document. And what did it say? MS. You know why? Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS. The signature of God is truth. So Hashem signed on to it. It's like a two-part, you know, it's a shutfus. It's a partnership. We said we rededicate and recommit ourselves to living a life of Torah and mitzvos. Hashem says MS. I believe it. It's true. It's going to happen. The seal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth, which is why it's so important. If we want to emulate God, so we need to be truthful and ethical as well. Atahu Hashem levadecha. Hashem is alone. It's our God. Ato asisa hashemayim shemei hashemayim mechol tzva'am. Right there, we discussed this last week, that there are multiple layers in the heavens. So Hashem controls all of them. It's just different levels of it. It's the universe. It's the things beyond the galaxies, the billions and billions of stars. It's the neutron something. Come on. No, that was last week. The neutron star collision, or whatever it was called, all of that is Hashem controlled it. Whether it happened 130 million years ago and it was just, you know, the light, whatever it is, Hashem is in control of all of that. Yeah. The earth and everything upon it, the seas and everything in them. Right? So not only did Hashem create it as a historical reality, but Hashem continues to sustain us. Mechaya esakol. He continues to be a constant source of life for everything that is lucky enough to remain in existence. Utzivah Hashemayim l'chamish tachavim. And the hosts of heaven bow down. The hosts, right, who are the Tzivah Hashemayim? These are the angels. And they recognize that Hashem is the worthy of honor, and they bow, the malachim bow down. That's their responsibility. So this is very interesting. We seem to be pivoting away from focusing on Hashem, and now Hashem chooses Avraham. How is that, you know, a reflection of the greatness of God? Hashem, you're alone, you're in charge of the heavens and the earth. And also, you're the Hashem, the God who chose Avraham and took him out of Ur Kasdim and gave him a new name, added a hey, and you found Umatzasa Eslevavo Neman Lefanacha, and you found his heart is faithful towards you. Anybody ever wonder about the thematic transition from the first paragraph to the second here?
Seems to be the one who recognized.
Right. So Avraham Avinu is the first one who recognizes all of this. Now, whether he said all of these words or it just, you know, built up and he began to appreciate it, right? Meaning that everything here is worth creating to produce somebody like Avraham. The Rambam, we could open up the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, and that little Avraham goes around and looking about, you know, none of this world, none of the deities that exist in the world seem to make sense. And it could be that there were other people who understood this concept of monotheism, specifically related to Hashem. Their names were Shem and Aver. Right, but they were older by this point. They didn't seem to have an indelible influence on the generation around them, to the extent that Avraham was the first person. Right? He was a novelty when he espoused his knowledge and viewpoint. So here, Hashem creates this vast universe. Tzva HaShemayim, and Haaretz, and Shemei HaShemayim. There's so much. And yet everything seems to have been created just so that a little boy by the name of Avraham looks around his father's shop and says, this is all sheker. This is fake. Really, there's a God in this world. Avraham. So Hashem changed his name from Avram to Avraham, who is the father of all nations. So the pasuk says, at the end of Bereishis, Ela toldos hashamayim v'haaretz behi bar'am, that these are the products of the heaven and earth when they were created. And Rav Schwab notes, behi bar'am has the same letters as Avraham. A cute little drasha there. You just move the word, the letters around. These are the generations of the heaven and earth for Avraham. That the heaven and earth was created
for the Torah and Yisrael.
Very good. We're going to get to that in a little bit. Torah and Yisrael. In fact, the next paragraph. Matzasa eslevavo ne'eman lefanecha. So this fact, this reality, matzasa eslevavo ne'eman lefanecha, that you found his heart faithful, is based on a pasuk, v'hemin b'hashem v'yachsheveha lo tzedakah, that he trusted in Hashem and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So Avraham Avinu kept his heart faithful to Hashem all the time. For 90 years, right? Imagine the nisyonos, the tests that Avraham Avinu endured, one after another. And even after he got it, right? Hashem promises him that he's going to have a land called Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be his for his children. And then what happens? Famine. He has to run away. And then there's a war. He has to drive out the conquerors. He's promised children. He doesn't see them for decades and decades. He's taken advantage of in his land. He tries to buy a burial plot for his wife, and they rip him off. And during all this time, at no point did he waver. The Ramban talks about this at the end of Parshas Shemos, when Moshe asks Hashem, why'd you send me to Paro? You told me that I'm going to be the one to take them out of Mitzrayim, and meanwhile, the only thing that happened is Hashem makes it worse for them. He punishes them more. He takes away their straw. They have to work on Shabbos. God, what are you doing? And the Gemara says, the Ramban quotes the Gemara, it says, I believe it's the Gemara in Erevin, that says, Moshe Rabbeinu, who do you think you are? There were people who came before you whom I promised many things to, and they didn't see it for a very, very long time. There was a man by the name of Avraham, and I promised him that he would have children, and his children would inherit the land. And he had problems in the land, and he didn't have children for 90 years, and even once he had children, he had problems with his children. And Moshe, you come along and you tell me, how come it's not the way you promised it would be the first time you go to Paro? Learn a little bit. Humble yourself. Learn from Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, who had to struggle to be able to see and to experience and the fulfillment of the promises that Hashem promised. And it's something, when we talk about Avraham being Matzas L'Sivavo and Emon L'Fanecha, so it's powerful to think about the relationship that Avraham had with Hashem in the course of our davening. We daven for so many things. And every person davens for different things, and even on every day, you could have three different tefillos, and you can be davening for three different things. And we hope that Hashem answers our tefillos immediately, and that we feel like He's listening and He's responsive, and yet sometimes it seems to fall on deaf ears. And the lesson is to be Matzasa Eslevavo Nem on the Fanecha, that our hearts have to remain faithful to Hashem, even if sometimes it takes decades to be able to realize our dreams. It's something that seems to be embedded in the spiritual DNA and in the operating system of the world. The word umatzasa is like a metziah. Hashem found it. He found this gem. There's this kid who comes along and changes the face of the world forever. Hashem finds it. You pick it up. You dust it off. You clutch it carefully. You treasure it. Umatzasa es levavo ne'eman. You found him. Right, that the entire purpose of creation was to be able to have somebody like Avraham Avinu. And so too with Yisrael. Matzasa David Avdi, the Medrash says, Shalosh Metzios Matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there are three things. Obviously Hashem didn't find them, Hashem created them, and then He picked them, He chose them for Himself. But what is the Medrash trying to explain to us? So the first one is, it's Avraham, David, and Yisrael. Avraham matzasa slavavo nem on the fanecha, then David matzasi David avdi, and finally, kanovim bamidbar matzasi Yisrael. I found Israel like grapes in the desert. You can imagine somebody walking through the desert, not just water, but grapes and fruit and sweet and juicy and luscious and so exciting. So the Metziah, so Avraham was like a gem who was lost, buried in the sand of idolatry among who knows how many people who had nothing to do with God in any meaningful way whatsoever. And Hashem finds that Metziah, Hashem finds him, He nurtures him, He allows him to grow. And then, the same thing happens to Yisrael. If you compare right, that same process through which Avraham is identified and nurtured, so there are other nations of the world by the time the Jewish people are formed in the crucible of slavery in Egypt. And Hashem identifies us. And there are other nations of the world. Other people had gone down to Mitzrayim to gather food. And Hashem sees, oh, those are the people I'm going to take out. And that's to the exclusion of everybody else. And then finally, David HaMelech, Matzasi David Avdi, David who lived a very difficult life and the undisputed Melech Yisrael, finally we have a real leader for the Jewish people. Matzasi David Avdi, I found David. V'charos imo habris. And he established a covenant with him. So there's a very interesting medrash that says that Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, so nu, here's this mitzvah, it's called Bris Milah. And Avraham, again, Nem on the Fanecha, he's faithful. The actual procedure doesn't frighten him, especially despite his old age. But he says, who's going to do it? Right? Is there a doctor? Is there a... Who's going to do it for me? Hashem says, you'll do it. And Avraham said, whoa, really? So Hashem had rachmanas on him, and he helped him out, and he did it together. The charos imo, they did the bris together, so they made this covenant together. That's why the diuk in the lashon, the deduction in the phrase, v'charos imo habris, he established the covenant with him, meaning that Hashem actually helped him fulfill the mitzvah, which is not a big chiddush to say. We know that if a person wants to do mitzvahs, a person expresses an interest in it, Hashem tries to help us get there. He gives us, we fight off the Yetzer Hara, and He gives us the logistical means to be able to succeed. So here, Avraham said, I'm an old guy. I need a little bit of help. This isn't so simple for me at my age. I lack the technical skill, the physical health perhaps. I need help. And Hashem comes along and helps him out. Yes?
How can we have this actually Bris Milah as opposed to the Bris of
Ben Absarim? Could be. Because v'charos, he cut with him a bris, right? The arla. Oh, you're saying he cut the good point. Could be. So you would say not like the medrash. I hear you. You can have a kash on a medrash. It's not so terrible. It's a possibility. Yes, Dr. Stein.
He's talking about the seven nations or whatever, the six nations, seven nations.
Right.
So, but I was going to say, when Avram went down to Mitzrayim with Sarah, that, you know, Achosi telling you, he didn't show the same faith, Emuna and Hashem, you know, that he had to disguise it that she's my sister, say she's my sister because of the problems with Paro again.
Mm-hmm.
It always sort of disturbed me.
It's an interesting point. I mean, what? If he really believed in Hashem, he would say, yeah, this is my wife. Meet my wife, Sarah. That's a good question. Let's look into that as we get closer to the Parsha.
Okay.
That's a good question. It's very hard to indict Avram Avinu for being a man who lacks faith.
Nice.
But it is a fair question. There are lots of good questions on these Parshios. We just need to look a little bit. So, the Charosi Mar Bris Laseitzes Eretz Hakanani Hachiti Hoyamori VeHaPrizi VeHayivusi VeHagirgashi Laseitz Lazaro. So to give the land of the Canaanites, the Chittim, the Amorim, the Prizim, the Yevusim, and the Girgashim. So these previous, earlier inhabitants of the land of Canaan, right? They practiced all sorts. They didn't just do Avodah Zarah. I mean, that was like just the tip of the iceberg. There was Gilui Arayos, and immorality was rampant. And the Parsha of Arayos, right, how do we know that it was so bad then? The Torah says in Parshas Achrimos, as we read on Yom Kippur in Mincha, Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Uchemasei Eretz Kenan Asher Ani Mevi Yischem Shama, Lo Sasu. Lo Sasu V'chokoseim Lo Seleichu. Right, what they did, whatever they were doing back then, right, Avraham grew up in this spiritual cesspool of immorality, of idolatry, that the land became contaminated, right? You think of it today, what does it take to be contaminated? It means you have chemicals that are spewing out over a long period of time until the soil is so disgusting that it contaminates the water, it contaminates the life, whatever's living in it. You should safeguard my decrees and my judgments and not commit any of these abominations. Right, so what that means is that the very land itself, the land spit it out, it couldn't tolerate it anymore. It was so disgusting, it was so sullied by impurities and immorality that they just kicked them out, vomited them out into other nations. The Bris Milah is performed on part of the man's body which expresses a lot of these animalistic drives that they were, you know, that they had no problem fulfilling in that time. And it's that spot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to make a bris kodesh, to sanctify us, and takes the most physical part of the body that caused this perversion in the land of Canaan and says, this is what's going to be holy, and these people who've been able to be mekadesh, their bodies, to be make their bodies holy by living a wholesome lifestyle according to Torah and mitzvos, those are the only people who are going to be successful living in this land for thousands and thousands of years. Everybody else gets spit out. Only the Jewish people are invited back over and over again, hopefully, Be'ezus Hashem, permanently.
Excuse me, why does it mention the seven? Why does it mention the Chivi? It only mentions six.
I'm not sure. Good question. They left already?
The Girgashi that left.
Okay. You've kept your word. You're just. We believe Hashem is tzaddik. He doesn't go back on any deal. Hashem upholds. He's honest. So what does this mean to you? like rediscovering Vayivarech David. What does it mean? Vateres ani avoseinu b'mitzrayim. So you could hear, right, if the pasuk says, was talking about inoy, right, about affliction, or, you know, what else? How do you understand this? Our suffering, right? Our oni, our inoi, torture, pain. But it says ani. What's an ani? An ani is a poor person. So are we bemoaning the fact that we were poor in Mitzrayim? We weren't just poor. You know, if you were to say to a slave who's getting harassed and abused and tormented and oppressed by their taskmasters and owners, you know, you're poor.
Maybe they're poor spiritually too.
Ooh, I like that. Spiritually poor. It was an anius, it was a poor, it was a poverty of spirituality, which was a symptom of the extent of the oppression and affliction that they suffered. It was a spiritual poverty, you're exactly right. They tried to beat the spirituality out of them. How do we know? Because Chazal tell us they sunk to Memtes Shari Tumah, the 49th of 50 gates of spiritual impurity. They were that close to never coming back. So that is Hashem saw Bateras Ani. I was saying to Mitzrayim, Hashem saw the poverty. And had we gotten really that poor, we never would have come back. Ve'ezak asam shamat al yamsuf, that you heard our outcry, right, after we left, again we're in danger. Right? You think, coast is clear, you've left Mitzrayim, you're free to go to Eretz Yisrael. No, Hashem heard us. Vatitin osos emosim befarah v'chol avadah v'chol amaretzorah v'kiyadanta k'yizidu aleihem. That despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had long ago told Avraham that his descendants would be enslaved, the Avdom, the Inuosan, that they're going to oppress them, nonetheless, in carrying it out, right, they inflicted much greater pain than they deserved. Paro didn't have to be such an oppressive tyrant. And so for this, they were punished by Hashem bringing out, you know, probably everything that he could bring. Not everything, Hashem can bring out a lot more. But, you know, a very pretty impressive array of punishments. V'tas lech Hashem kayom azeh. And you brought yourself a name, right? That's why Yisro comes about. Yisro says, I heard about what happened on the banks of the Yamsuf. I heard about what happened in Mitzrayim. And so the greatest of all the signs is that Hashem allows us to continue to endure, right? We go back to Eretz Yisrael. The land doesn't spit us out. Despite all of the terrible things that happen to us over the generation, over millennia and centuries, we're still able to continue. V'hayom bakata lefneim v'yavru b'so chayom b'yabasha. Hashem split the sea. They went into the sea, then Hashem split it. V'yasur fei mishlachta v'imtsolos k'mo evan b'mayim azim. So Nechemya says, talks about the wondrous perpetuation of the Jewish people despite, you know, traveling in the desert and despite the hazards that exist. And it's the time of, you know, the Malachim and the Nevi'im, and, you know, there's a lot of bad. You open up not the Torah, but the Nach is filled with a lot of challenging, you know, challenges towards Hashem, and ultimately praising Hashem for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. But for the purposes of Sukkah de Zimra, we end here. V'namlichecha Malkeinu Elokeinu, as we say in Baruch Sha'amar, and then we move on to, right, what is the end of the next piece? So we're talking about we talk about Hashem saving us on the banks of the Yamsuf, so it's only appropriate to express that first great national anthem that we sang together, which ends Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Va'ad. So Hashem is our ruler forever. And there's nothing greater than that to rely on, to believe in, to remind ourselves that Malchus Shemayim is really the most powerful thing. And it's a thing that allows us to continue to remain in existence, because Hashem wants Klal Yisrael to remain. And so all these praises are not only to Hashem, but they also can have a very powerful impact on those of us who say it, because it enhances and strengthens our relationship. We look back over the course of Jewish history, and we can't help but feel prideful and happy and thankful for everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done and continues to do for us until this day.